right. All right. All right. Listen, I know it's been over a year probably by the time you're hearing this. Maybe it's been less than a year. I don't know what time is. Joe, do you know what time it is?
Literally no idea.
Exactly. Okay. Well,
I have clinical time blindness, Skitch. You know this.
Listen, I think everyone has developed a degree of clinical time blindness over the course.
I actually don't know if that's the real term.
I think we're having, there's been temporal anomalies all over the place. And I think as a result of that, we've had some other people who have been dragged into this special, by special, I just mean actual existent installment of Shardpoint Academy. So we're back, maybe for more than one episode. This will be one episode. We'll do some more later on. But
I really thought you were gonna do the reverb on when you said Shardpoint Academy.
Well, I could do that if you want me to.
I do.
Okay,
I do.
Fine. So yeah. So as a note here for those of you that are being quiet on the call for some reason, we are back.
They're scared.
They're scared of what? They're scared of Shardpoint Academy.
What was that?
It was chaos. Welcome to Dice Funk.
Welcome to Dice Funk Shardpoint Academy. For those
Guten Tag, everyone.
Yes. Before we get to introductions of our illustrious cast for today, I will do a brief primer on what the heck is a Shardpoint? How do you do a Shardpoint? You know, so those things. Shardpoint Academy is one of the, is basically like a side anthology series that takes place between seasons 3 and 4 of Dice Funk, Ilium, and Valentine. Watch both seasons if you want.
Have fun watching them.
Have fun watching them, yes. Watch them both at the same time.
Yeah. Pooh, how are we going to watch it? It's an audio-based medium.
Cut that out, Austin.
They're
uploads on YouTube. I know because I made them. So
you fucking dream killer, Dan.
That's what they call me.
Dream killer Dan in the corner there.
Well,
but yeah,
good.
Everyone knows you can watch and listen at the same time.
Yes. The important thing is that Shardpoint is an adventurer school. It's not a magic school like Strixhaven. So it's better than Strixhaven. I'll just say that because you can have people that are not spellcasters in the school. It's completely fine.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Like, what are they going to do? Nothing? Because.
Sounds like them.
Anyways. So with that being said, though, each episode involves some, some of the people of Shardpoint Academy. This could be students or faculty. Today we got a staff full of various interesting employees of the academy itself, headed by the mysterious, scruples-lacking headmaster Orin Waite, and more importantly, his weasel familiar, Jamarius Jenkins Jollygood.
JJJ.
JJJ. So, but before we get to find out who our characters are, we need to get introduced to who the players are. And one of you made yourselves known in a very clear fashion. So, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Remind everyone who
Hi.
You are. Yes.
My name's Dan. I played Gorbo Gutterslump on Kill Frosty a year ago, and I'm back. You can't keep me away. Let's see, what's there to say about me? I work in IT. You can't really find me anywhere online. So if you do need to reach me, throw a note down the abandoned well in the middle of the forest and, you know, it'll get to me.
Fantastic. Also joining us today is, Pooh, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? Who are you? What are you about? Where can we find you?
It's so much pressure. Hi, I'm Pooh. I started playing D&D a year ago. I don't know how I got here. You can find me on a Legend of Nat 1 podcast that I edit and produce, and NYC Gamers. That's why in the gamer, because I help make safe places for the gays and the queers. And if you want to find me personally and hunt me down, I'll be the Bucket List Gamer on Twitter, Twitch, and Facebook Gaming. because I want to stop playing games, and I'm going to play every game so I can never play them again.
That's an admirable goal there. And last but not least, Joa, welcome back.
Thank you, Skitch. I was going to say that was an incredible intro from Pooh. You are so cool, and I'm so glad to be on this with you. But yeah, I'm Joa. I go by she and they pronouns. I'm in Philadelphia. Austin Yorski is my partner. Give him money, please, at patreon.com/AustinYorski.
Mm-hmm. Austin's going to be hearing this while editing it. So yes, just Austin. Austin, this yeah. is your fault, but you're welcome, you know.
Absolutely. And I realize, like, every time I record anything, I am not saying this. Like, yes. So, but I, by day, I founded Funding for Social Change. So I do grant writing and creative design to help social justice projects get money from wealthy people to redirect the flow of capital to important social justice, racial justice, economic justice projects. And it's best to think of me as not knowing how to play D&D and just to have a good time.
Man, you two really just blow me out of the fucking water here with all your very nice projects. Meanwhile, I tell people how to type values into computer screens.
Yeah, you tell them how to turn it off and turn it on again.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
That's
yeah.
mostly what they need.
This is true. Boomers don't know what they're doing. It's very sad.
Also, you've been you've been haunting the nightmares of all Dice Funk listeners for a year, and now your voice is back. So I think yes. you've paid a big splash, yeah.
As for me, I am no one important. No one needs to know who I am.
Don't
but
do
if
that.
You insist,
fucking baiting us.
We'll give you compliments, all right? You know what happens when we give you compliments.
We did, and he was speechless. It's not on the recording. We said how much we love Skitch and how cool he was, and he was silent for a full 5 seconds.
The best part is that if you did it now, I would still be speechless, so it wouldn't be on the recording either. That's the magic of being speechless.
That's the trick.
Yes.
At some point during this podcast, I'm going to give you a compliment.
Oh, you better not. Don't threaten me with a bad time. Anyways.
Austin, edit in comments all in post. Just around it.
But my name is Michael Skitchiano. Most people go by Skitch because, I don't know, they can't pronounce Skitchiano. Relevant for later on. I
can't pronounce Michael.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not funny.
I do music. I have aggressive opinions about tabletop role-playing games. I'm interested in user interface, user experience. I spend way too much time lurking in the Dice Funk Discord. So if you want to find me, you can find me there. You can find me at Skitch Music on Twitter, or you can go to my website, which is actually michaelskitchiano.com. That is Michael, last name spelled SCHICIANO.com. And with that, I believe that's our introductions out of the way. So that leads us to our next item on the itinerary. Who are we playing today? Well, let's figure that out as we set the stage for what's going on. So, every good episode of Shardpoint Academy begins with our illustrious, illicit, supposed heroes being called up to the headmaster's office because something is demanding their attention, and the headmaster, the gnome Orin Waite, is otherwise unable to take care of the problem himself. So, of the three, I believe the first two that will make it to the headmaster office will be Pooh and Joa. You two have been called up to the office in the form of a little message delivered to you by JJJ. Basically, you're in wherever you were, whether you were teaching a class or otherwise, but feel free to introduce who are your characters. Who wants to take the lead there?
Yeah, I can go. So, I'm Sin. I am a fairy, and I'm an inquisitive rogue. I'm also a guidance counselor, and it makes sense that I'm here with Tim, which we'll know more about in a second. Because as we were talking about just a second ago, we're bros. We're just lads being bros, bros being lads. And I want to say that I think we're called here for the squeezing that's going on.
I will say that, like, I assume that when you got the message to come to the office, you were basically advising some student on some matter. And JJJ, being both cute but also completely unaware of norms, just sort of, like, popped in through a little tube opening in the wall to leave the note on your desk and then leaves while you're counseling some student about something.
Okay.
Well, so how do you normally...
I am a counselor. I use she, her pronouns. I am a level 5 inquisitive rogue. I have very great perception and insight. I can, you know, see who's lying. I've got fairy fire, enlarge and reduce, shimmery wings. Just think of me as tank girl, but a fairy.
Right.
Tiny, but fierce. And known by all of the problematic adolescents in Shardpoint.
and you probably have a problematic adolescent in the room just being like, what do you want me to do? Like, I don't know, like, find myself, you know?
What else do you think you're going to do in here? I've got my sketches. This is a great idea that I'm always carrying around a little coffee and a thimble. So I'm just a little judgmental and fluttering in the air and very eye roll because, you know, I've been here before. I've done this. I'm far traveler background, and the kids appreciate how real I am with them.
It's like, listen, you know, I just like setting things on fire, but sometimes I just, you know, I don't know what else to do. Sometimes the fire goes out early, or sometimes it's going on for too long and I got something else to do. I just don't know what to do with myself.
What, Jimbo? I've had this idea that I think that I've been thinking about you for my how to escalate de-escalation tactics, and I think you would be great. Let's set fire to shit. You just gotta know how to hone in your skills and leverage those strengths for other activities. There's a lot of people in the world that need to be set on fire, and I kind of come down and wrap my arm around his shoulder and do a little pat pat.
It's weird because, like, this is a Goliath that you're talking to, so he's just that much bigger than you. That is just like you're like this little tiny pixie, little tiny fairy, just like
unfazed.
Constantly, just like, it's like
Jimbo, you know, flicks away a tear. I think is what happens.
Yeah,
a bonding moment.
Yeah, and then you're able to kind of move on over to the office. Pooh.
I have an important question about Sin. Does Sin have a comically small chair that she sits backwards on when she has to real talk with the students?
I like to think that the chair is also floating and has wings.
Yes, that's very
right,
good.
That's all I needed to know.
Basically, the office that she in used to belong to a different counselor, so it's like there's like a human-sized desk that like is basically like an entire office laid out on it. So like there's like an office within the office on the floor.
What if it was a Goliath office and it's just that much bigger?
All right. So next up we have Tim. Go ahead.
I hope that's how that works out.
Sorry. So, moving on to our next person, Pooh. Your character is a teacher, I believe. So they might be finishing up a lecture or something when they get their letter from their instruction from JJJ to go to the headmaster's office. What can you tell us about your character?
Oh, am I in the office with them?
No, I'm just saying you're getting called in, but before you get to the office, tell me about your character. Who are they?
Well, I am Timothy A. Salamander. I am not a salamander. If you would see him from behind, you would see, I guess, what you would think it would be a regular humanoid body with a bronze, copper-ish skin. But if you was to view them from the front, they would have no face. Well, at least not at the moment. Dressed in I realized describing him earlier, he's kind of piratey, but it's more like thigh-high boots, some nice pants, a belt, a vest, you know, a nice little button-up shirt that's very open. And yes, he's a Warforged. He's also the professor of sexual education. If you was to catch him during, like right before doing leaving his classroom, he's probably reading something to the students in a circle as he pours a nice cup of hot Joe from his body, because he is a artificer alchemist.
An artificer alchemist. Okay, okay.
Yeah, what is Tim reading to the students in sex ed?
Oh, okay. Oh, I have something prepared, just in case that was asked.
All right.
I bet it's an IKEA assembly manual.
So as he's as he's reading, he's touching his face, and it a face appears kind of like a Lego, and he switches characters as he's talking. Surface starts, it starts off as, "You're impossibly fast and strong. Your skin is pale and white and ice cold. Your eyes change color and you levitate. Also, you have 100 more eyes." And then he touches his face and changes to a male face and going, "Go ahead, say it. What am I?" And she touches her face. He switches faces again. They're like, "You're a beholder." And it's like, "Yes, yes. Tell me your name." It's like, "Anastasia Gorgon." And it's like, "Look at me." "No, you'll die." They're like, "Look at me." And she looks, and one of his eye stalks starts to turn to stone. And then it stops. And it's like, "What? What is this?" It's like, "I have an anti-magic cone. You can never stone me, my love." And they embrace. And that's all for today, class.
These kids aren't learning shit.
That is all for today, class. I hope that you've had a great lesson. And I want everyone to write a 2-page essay on whether or not the magical cone could stop him from being turned to stone. Also, Bethany, you get an alchemy vial for guessing today's safe word, which was artificer, because nothing kills sex like being actually by someone. So,
I don't think you should have to guess a safe word.
I roll a d6, a 4. They do get something once I find my
I'm alchemy. Fucking dying.
I believe, is that a vial of, she wants a vial of flying? I think that's what 4 is.
And for the rolls, you can do them on the roll 20 thing by doing slash R and then the dice value there. So like slash R D6 would be the way that we do like a D6 roll within roll 20.
I rolled a 3. They get a, because I lift up my arm and very like Death Stranding, a little vial pops up from under him and it fills up and he pulls out an experimental elixir. And Bethany is rewarded resilience. The drinker gains 1 bonus to their AC for 10 minutes. And I'm like, "Excellent job. Till tomorrow, class."
Wait. Who the fuck is Bethany?
Oh, she
one of the students.
She guessed.
Just one of
the
students.
She just one of the students. She guessed one of the safe word of the day. The safe word of the day.
Dan, we don't actually need you here.
All right. Well, I guess I'll just go. All right. Goodbye. Goodbye, everybody.
So the two of you head over to the headmaster's office, and while you're there, when you walk in, you see Orin Waite, the gnome. Rogue sitting at his desk, kind of like a bit frazzled as usual. On the desk is a little bed, and there's a little plaque in front of the bed that just says Jamarius Jenkins, jolly good. And you could see the weasel like taking a nap in there, wearing his vest as usual, and all that good stuff. And Orin looks melted up. He's like, "What?"
I said, "I just melted."
Orin just looks up. It's like, oh, good. Okay, the two of you are here. I'm still trying to figure out where. This third person is, I was going to have Sparkles help with this, but he told me to contact Night Shift. Who works the night shift here?
We have a night shift? We have nighttime professors.
Yeah, I don't think there's anyone at night shift. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's supposed to be the custodial staff, the night shift there, but I don't know where to find this person here.
Let me ask an important question. Does he happen to have a closet in his office?
Of course there's a closet in his office.
All right. I'm going to activate my ability, Be Right There.
Yep. So, make your entrance.
All right. As he's attempting to figure out just who Night Shift is, the door to his closet kicks itself open from the inside. And out walks this just scrungly old man with a long white beard and a dusty old janitorial jumpsuit. He has like a name tag on it, but the name is it's written in a completely unintelligible language. His eyes aren't really even looking in the same directions. They're just kind of unfocused and hazed over. He's completely bald except for like a couple tufts of hair behind his ears. His head's covered in liver spots. And then he strolls right into the room, grabs one of the chairs, turns it around all cool-like, and sits down.
All cool-like. I just want to say that it is canon in Dice Funk that's specifically how a youth group pastor
sits down backwards.
That's fine. That's fine. Orin just looks at your character when they come in, Dan. They walk on over, sit down, and then Orin's like, excuse me, who are you?
I turn to Sin and say, oh, clearly we've interrupted something. Let's go back to the teacher's lounge and let them have their moment.
You asked for a night shift janitor? Well, I'm here.
Wait, okay, so... all right. So, okay. So what's your name again?
I don't understand the question.
I think he thinks his name is Night Shift.
And he points right to his completely unintelligible, name tag.
Oh, it says nothing. I can't see what that says. It says nothing.
I'm petting Mr. Jollygood.
Mm-hmm. Roll a d20 while you pet, Jolly Good. Just go ahead and do that for me, please.
Oh, no. I don't. Don't let me fail.
Don't worry. Just roll. You got a 14. Yeah. Okay. Yep. You were doing just fine.
That's a good pet. That's a good pet.
Yeah. You're able to like basically sit there alongside JJJ, just give him a little petting. While Orange is sort of staring, like eyes borderline defocusing for a moment while he's trying to comprehend what your character is. By the way, Dan, do you want to explain a little bit more about who your crotchety old man is?
Yes. As you do that, I touch my face with acquisitive look, looking towards you.
Yes, I am playing Night Shift, air quotes around the name. He is a janitor.
Quotes around janitor.
Well, hey, he's a very good custodian. Thank you very much. He is a warlock mechanically, and his pact is just listed as the walls of the academy. So do with that what you will.
Yeah, people may be wondering, did Skitch just invent and design a custom patron just for the sake of this one shot? And the answer is, of course I did. Of course I did.
Didn't you?
So
wait a second. Pause. Don't act like that. That's something super, super crazy. Didn't you make like a super double astrological chart sign thing?
You did do that, Skitch. You did do that.
Listen, that took weeks to workshop. This took me like 2 hours. So anyways, the important thing here is just the fact that to clarify for the audience, this just gives Mr. Knight here, or Mr. Watch, I don't know, some special abilities pertaining to the school itself. So,
I'm scared yet excited.
As introductions and weasel petting commence, Orin just sort of calms down a bit, rubs his hands like, okay, in any case, I've called you all here because there is a situation that requires a bit of attention. Miss Sin?
Yes. You're interrupting me as I'm saying to Mr. Jolligood, you don't know anything about squeezing, do you? No, you don't. No, you don't.
We could teach him.
You've been, to my understanding, that you've been assigning some of the students who have been seeking your counsel to engage in volunteer work in the waste management site we have here on campus.
Yeah, it's a, you know, it's part of the theory. You treat them like trash. They understand that they're trash, and they deal with it, and they work through their problems, and they get to set shit on fire. It's cathartic. How many times do I have to explain this?
Well, it's more the fact that I've been getting reports from students who have been working on that site of some unusual happenings that are atypical for the location. And
I don't know. You need to talk about Tim, sex ed robot over here, about that. I don't know about anything unusual going down in the waste management.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a saying in my classroom, do not yuck someone's yum. You never know if you might like it until you try it.
No, Arwen. You wouldn't yuck someone's yum, would you, Mr. Jollygood? No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, kids these days, they can't stand no chronomic anomalies or unholy abominations no more.
I will let you know that Professor Salamander is being brought along here because of their alchemical specializations, which will allow them some aid in case there is, I don't know, something that might cause an infection while in the site. That is the primary reason for calling them in here. But the point of the matter is that while trying to figure out what could be the cause of the problem, I consulted the Shardpoint Tome of Location and have discovered that there appears to be an unaccounted magical item in that vicinity.
I hope we didn't burn it.
like, are you going to explain what this magic item is?
Unfortunately, it is not known what the item specifically is. All I can find out is that it...
Orwin, you're always so helpful. You know, that's always what I tell people about you.
I appreciate that. When the animal review comes by, that will certainly be helpful. It appears the item is related to conjuration. So maybe it might be bringing in something. I don't know.
Gotcha. Cunnilingus. We must find it.
Oh.
I would be attending this matter, but unfortunately, in the upcoming months, we are preparing for various meetings, including our annual Patron Teachers Association meeting for the Warlock Academy. So, I...
Now that's always a messy cleanup.
I'm sorry, did we just say there's an artifact that conjures cunnilingus? Is that what it was just said?
That's my take on it. That's what I understood.
Okay. Well, I believe Tim. Moving on.
Oh, but why the janitor?
The custodian was requested because you're going into the waste management site.
My kids are doing just fine with waste management. I don't know.
And cunnilingus.
We don't know that that's happening at the waste management.
It's happening in the school.
Night shift folds his arms and says, well, these morning shift custodians clearly don't know what they're doing around here. I mean, look how dirty this office is.
I will let you know that every speck of dust in this place is accounted for, Mr. Shift. But irrespective, if there's anything else that you require in order to take on this task, please let me know. Otherwise, your responsibilities are being covered by other faculty in the meantime. And besides, it's not even night shift yet, so you're off on that respect. He points over to the custodian.
Well, if you don't want the best, I can just go back into the closet right there.
Oh.
Well, listen, you never have to go back into a closet. There are always other options, and we will always find people who can accept you. Come with me. And I think I'll pour him a glass of tea. We can figure this out for you. I don't think I need to have a conversation with Mr. Nightshift.
I just want to say that I think Tim is more qualified to be a guidance counselor than Sin. So.
Well, you did call students pieces of trash, which is generally not the most.
It's like a Mr. Miyagi situation. You know, wax on, wax off. I'm trash, you're trash.
And Sin would probably be a better trauma bonding. Sin would probably be a better sex ed teacher.
That's it. One day we'll discover it. Probably not by the end of this one shot, but
one day.
So, but if there's any other questions that you all have for Mr. Headmaster Waite, you are welcome to ask them of him before you head off.
Where'd you get this weasel from? Why don't we have weasels? That's a question I'd like to know.
Can Mr. Jollygood come with us? I think we need them for getting into small spaces. This object, you don't know anything about it. It could be very small.
And how does he feel on tea? I make a lot of tea.
I don't think I can actually carry Mr. Jollygood, can I?
Like Orin will just sort of like hear all these questions and we'll answer them kind of in rapid succession. He points over to Tim and says, Mr. Jollygood is my familiar, so that's where they came from. There are many people with familiars in this academy. In fact, we have a familiar training course that we offer for students of all ages who are working with the familiar relationships. And if you wish, Miss Sin, Demarius may accompany you if that is what your request.
As long as he's okay with that. And then, do I have to, like, I'm so small. Am I gonna heave, like, throw him over my shoulder?
Let me just flip a coin here to see if Jollygood, like, does a little, like, you know, weasel war dance and rolls on top of you. You know, he rolls around a bit, but he doesn't crush you under himself, but he just, like, rolls around playfully on the bed, you know. Anyone else other than Sin, if you wish, can pick up. I mean, you gotta keep in mind, he's tiny. He's not that big, but, so, like, anyone else, anyone in the party who wants to carry him or just lead him along, you're welcome to do so.
I think I don't trust Night Shift because, fuck.
The janitors started cleaning around the office.
Hey, that's a good work ethic.
I respect this man.
So I'm going to ask Tim. Tim, you think you can help me out here? I think it's really important that he comes with us.
You're right. It is very important. And I go, and it seems like I'm reaching down for the weasel, but I go towards their cup, which seems like half empty now, and I open up my finger and refill her cup.
As you're giving out these little drinks, you very at one point very clearly see Night Shift drink some cleaning supplies.
Oh! Oh, no! I can make you something else. Would you rather have something else? That seems quite powerful.
No, they say it makes the squeezing that much better.
Keeps the arteries nice and clear.
I also have an alchemy jug. Do you need anything like honey or maybe some ale? Instead,
don't give this man ale.
No, siree, don't drink on the job. As he takes another swig from one of his various chemical unguents.
Listen, Orin, it sounds like we're good here. We gotta go check out the trash dump. What do you need from us?
Just report back when you've discovered what the source of these unusual reports are. That should be just fine.
All right, you better have someone good replacing me.
Oh, don't worry. You don't worry about that. We have plenty who are qualified, even if they aren't to your particular level of quality, Miss Sin.
I pick up both Sin and a weasel and put them on my shoulder.
All right, so after being given your task, you're being told, hey, something's going on in the waste management site, which is basically like, the best way to describe it, it's like a landfill, but like it's not like it's basically where the upper class students are doing research about, like, you know, waste management, recycling, cleanup work, and things to kind of help, like, you know, be as ecological as possible.
Okay, you said upper class, I thought you meant like wealthy. And I was like, this is some social commentary sketch.
No, I'm talking about the doctoral students who are working with abjuration magic.
But,
you know,
I was thinking the same thing, but I didn't say it.
Like, this is why I'm fucking breaking them down emotionally and mentally. It's because they're little upper class kids.
Yeah. So we have doctoral level students here at Shard Point. So that's whole the thing going on here. So you're being tasked to go over there because you're getting reports that things that are kind of weird are happening over there, and there appears to be a magic item that's unaccounted for in the area. So as you enter the site, it is outdoors. It is midday. As you go in there, you'll see that there's some people milling about. One thing you might notice along the way is a small campfire that has been made with a pair of students just kind of sitting nearby chatting about some stuff. Sin will recognize that these are students that she has specifically sent to do work out here in the site.
As we enter, I think also around his neck are two little beads, kind of like Akuma from Street Fighter, his beads, but only like two of them and a little bit smaller. He's going to touch one of them and use his magical tinkering, because we are in a waste management facility. He's going to assume that it smells like stuff. So he makes it smells within up to 10 feet away. Everything smells like a little bit like peppermint.
I actually, everyone can just roll perception on the way into the waste management site. Just give me a quick perception roll there.
Yeah, I got a 5.
Yeah, so I have a +9 in perception, and I rolled 20. Don't y'all bring me down.
I got a 12.
Tim is so absorbed in trying to mask the smell of the waste site that they don't notice what it actually smells like.
Mm.
Light shift. I'm assuming your sense of smell is just kind of suspect anyways.
Well, he's just kind of taken a deep breath and gone, I love the smell of trash in the morning.
Which is weird, because Sid notices it doesn't smell like trash around here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways.
So I'm going to walk up to, or rather I'm like fluttering, right? I'm going to fly over to these students that I know.
Yep.
Like, hey kids, how's it squeezing?
Hi, Miss Sin.
What's going on here? You got some drugs? What's going on?
You gonna share?
You gotta say something.
No, we don't have any drugs. I just wasn't expecting to see you out here. We were taking
a
break.
I'll see you later. What's going on? You notice anything weird around here lately? It's a nice fire.
Thanks. Jimbo helped out with that a little bit earlier on.
He's a good one, that Jimbo.
The student you're talking to is just like kind of skittish tabaxi kid. And he's like, most of the stuff here is kind of fine. There's that one pile over there. He kind of points off, and you see this sort of like oddly like really tall pile of trash. Looks kind of like Tartarus from Persona 3, where it's just like this straight like tall pile that just kind of keeps going up quite a bit taller than would be practical. And as you look over there, Sin will notice the fact that there's like a little bit of like what seems like steam or smoke kind of rising off from the very top.
I assume that Night Shift is trying to huff it, and I'm gonna.
Well, actually, he's busy telling Mr. Salamander. Now, remember, there might be some open fires around here, and as you're a salamander, you don't want your skin
to dry. I'm
going to
save Tim from this conversation.
I've told you so many times on this journey to this facility, I am not a salamander.
Tim, I think we've got someone over who could use some tea. You had any left in you?
Oh God, yes, please.
The thing about you mentioned about like, you know, someone huffing the smoke. The pile of like to estimate from this far out, it's like a 4-story tall pile of garbage off of the distance.
That's
sort of like what the student points to a little bit earlier on there. So like,
I'd like to roll insight to get a little bit more into. Because I can tell the student is nervous, but I don't really understand why, and it doesn't seem like they can tell me.
Sure. I mean, go ahead. Roll your insight.
Because I also have +9 in that. 15.
You can tell that the student is basically, like, nervous because you sent them over here to do work, and they're currently not doing work, so they feel like, oh, no, I've been found out. I'm in trouble. I'm going to be...
Tim comes over and lifts up his arm, and as he lifts up the arm, a small vial and a small cup is from under there, and he pulls it out and fills it with tea. Now, son, I want to know, and you're not in trouble, have you seen a magical orb of cunnilingus around here?
A what?
Don't worry, he's the sex ed teacher. You know. Just answer the question.
Hey, try this. It's a nice tea, a rich, sugary taste. like the morning when you see a sunrise. Try it. It'll make you comfortable. And tell us about cunnilingus.
Out of character, I'm just going to say, you're not going to get me to talk about this sort of stuff.
I'm like, we're really pushing it to the edge here.
Well, really, I guess the question is, does he know anything about magical items around here?
I'm pretty impatient, and I'm going to be like, you know, I don't want this. I can tell that this kid is kind of like scared that they're not, that I'm judging them for not doing, or that I caught them. And so I'm just be like, keep it squeezy, kid. And I fly away. And
has Sin told Night Shift that she has been sending students here to clean?
Night Shift might have heard Oren talk about that earlier on, but he also might not have been paying attention.
Night Shift was there in the closet, so I think.
That this is, this, well, he technically wasn't, but anyway, well, like, doesn't matter. We'll find
how
out
how much is he actually listening ever. So
he takes his job very seriously, and from his point of view, these students have been deputized as custodians. And I am going to enact my haunted one feature, and I am going to start rounding up these lazy students who aren't working and start directing them to clean up these piles of trash.
Well, yeah, there's other piles of trash around. Most of them are sectioned off that way to do specific research into the best way of managing different trash types. So you send the students off to
get them on the four-story pile. Yeah.
Well, he's a professional. He needs to get that one.
Well, like, so, like, you, so the main thing you notice is that these students, like, start merging, like, kind of, like, collecting up these smaller piles of trash, and then the grad students show up and they're panicking because they're like, no, you can't mix the papers with the polymers. That's not going to work. And then that whole thing kind of creates a little bit of a snafu as you go along.
He does not care.
I know he does not care.
He knows what he thinks is best, and he's enacting it.
I'm following on to the bigger, giant pile of trash.
Yep. All right. As you approach the main pile of trash center, you notice that like no one's really messing around with it. It just sort of like just seems to exist. And more notably, there appears to be like a door at the base of it as you get closer to it.
Oh, I want to do a roll for something. What do I have? I have a 4 in investigation. Can I do that?
I mean, you want to roll investigation, you absolutely can. Sure.
I'm going to roll with, because I also have a 4.
That's 15 plus 4. That's 19.
Oh, fuck. I got a 21.
You know what? Sure. He's probably headed over to clean up the big one himself, so he'll start screwing around with it.
I like the idea that we both know more of what to do than Night Shift, but
I don't think he cares about what this is. It's just a problem to solve. He has to clean it.
Right. Mm-hmm. So here's what happens. The two of you are kind of investigating and noticing like that. So Tim and Sin are investigating the trash pile and like moving some items around. Night Shift like takes a shovel and tries to jam it in to wedge out some of the trash, I assume, right?
Yeah, or he's just going barehanded right in there.
He's like trying to dive right in. There's a problem. There's a problem when you do that. It's basically like you hit in and it just like doesn't go in. It's almost like this is, it's almost like this is actually like a shell of garbage that's like a wall, and there's actually like, you can't, like, pull objects out from it easily.
All right, Night Shift's gonna put his head right up against this wall of trash, and he, like, his ear right up against it, and he's, like, tapping on it like a safe cracker, and after a few moments of this, he goes, well, I'm gonna have to blow it up from the inside.
I say, no! I've pulled back, and I'm fluttering away, and I'm looking at him saying, it's art.
Oh, he's already committed to blowing it up from the inside. He's going right in.
All right, so dude, what do you do with the door? What do you do with the door there, Night Shift?
Is it just like, is it got a doorknob on it? Anything written on it?
Yep, that's a doorknob. Yeah.
Any writing on the door?
No.
All right. Well, he's just gonna open it up.
All right. So you open the door, and you see like it just sort of looks like a room on the inside. Mm-hmm. but it's not. But it's kind of nondescript. It's sort of like nondescript. You kind of have to look a little bit closer to see what it's all about.
I followed Night Shift in.
Yeah, you'll go, and he got no problem with this. He's been working in a magical college for God knows how long.
Well, what does Tim do once he sees once they see Night Shift, and I'm assuming Sim just sort of go on in.
Oh, he's going to
I followed in.
Pour himself another cup of tea and walk in as well.
Right, as you enter, the door closes behind you.
Oh, of course it does.
What have we done?
So is it dark?
No, actually.
Oh.
So, like, you go in, and, like, the place has sort of like a, has a little bit of, like, a glow of light from some nondescript location. And you notice a, you notice there are three archways that would have doors in them, but only one of them actually has a door, and that's the one to the right. I've been doing rolls on the side here to kind of check on it here. So you look around and you can kind of see, like, there's some little objects around in here. It just looks kind of, I don't know, suspiciously put together kind of vibe. If you want to investigate the room further, go ahead.
Yeah, I want to also know if, like, Night Shift is more at ease now that things are orderly inside the trash pile.
Let's see. So Night Shift is going to utilize one of his special abilities here, and it is, let's see, where was it? I think it was Detect Work.
Yes. one of your features. One of your features is called Not on My Watch.
Yes, that's it.
And the thing that allows you to do is to detect work to be done.
Right. And that will give me, when I read this, as a bonus action, you can detect work that needs to be done, which will alert you the general direction and rough difference of the nearest problems that might need to be cleaned up. Higher priority issues will be brought to your attention as needed. You can sustain this as if you're concentrating for a spell up to 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you enter in here, and the only bit of work that you notice is that there is, like, a little, what looks to be a portion of a sign that is sort of embedded on one of the walls, and it says welcome to Dusklade, welcome to Dusklades with an apostrophe S, but it looks like the sign's broken in half, so it's like it's not complete effectively. That's the nearest problem that you notice, but everything else in the room seems normal-ish.
How's the light situation?
Orwin said he Skitch said that the light was fine, and Orwin said there is something maybe related to conjuration. I feel like this wasn't here last time I was here. Can I use eye for detail?
Sure, go ahead.
So eye for detail, as an inquisitive rogue, you can use a bonus action to make a perception check to spot a hidden creature or object, or to make an investigation check to uncover or decipher clues. So I think right now I don't know if there's any hidden objects in the main room, Skitch.
But it's the first room, yeah, so.
Well, damn, yeah, 24.
24 perception. So here's what you're able to suss out about the thing here. There are no hidden... Well, here's what you find. Like, as you surveil the room, you see that in one of the... There's a couple of barrels set up in the space. There's, like, a chair, some barrels, like, things that you would normally find in, like, just, I don't know, a dungeon, like a standard D&D dungeon. And one of the barrels, you find a... You find a potion.
I hand it immediately to Tim. I don't even. I assume Tim will know what it is.
Let's examine this potion.
All right. If you want to examine your potion, you could just give me a intelligence check on that front here.
I've got my eye on Night Shift. I'm worried you're going to dismantle this art.
This broken sign, is it? Does it just have a tear in it, or is it like some part of it has been physically ripped off somewhere?
It looks like it just sort of like it used to be a single piece of wood and just sort of split in half midway across the middle there.
Okay.
So
he's going to walk up to it and use mending to repair it.
That will not work.
Damn.
Because you don't have the other half or part of the sign.
Okay. I thought even when you said ripped down the middle, it wasn't fully split.
You know, okay. Night shift, I thought this was your job. Aren't you supposed to figure out how to...
My mind's eye ain't what it used to be. You'll understand when you're a million years old.
Well, I rolled an 18 plus 4, so 22.
So, what you're holding in your hand is a potion of, let's see here. You've identified this as a potion of heroism.
I'm going to take that back.
It is a potion that after drinking it, whoever drinks it gains 10 temporary hit points that last for 1 hour.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to take it back.
I mean, Tim would probably give it up. Because
I know, that's why I want Tim to keep it, is because Tim would give it, and I would die for Tim.
Yeah. To be precise, it is a potion of lesser heroism is the way I would describe it. So it gives you temporary hit points, but not the benefits of bless. So it's just like, huh. Now, I'll also note a thing that might be a surprise to Tim and Sin is that the potion is in pristine condition.
Pristine condition.
I mean... Because it's in a garbage dump, so that's why it's surprising, right?
Yes, like it's
I'm just, perceptive in real life, y'all.
it's clean. It's just a potion. Okay.
So listen, I want to say this, Santa Night Shift. Ever since we walked through this door, clearly it feels like we've been teleported upon somewhere else, and everything in here feels like a trap.
Well, I'll just tell Night Shift directly. You know that you're still on the campus of Shardpoint. You can tell by your own natural sense that you're still on site. You're not in a different place.
Right. I don't think his abilities would work outside of here anyway. Night Shift's gonna wave him off like, you youngins, you don't know what you're talking about. We're still on campus.
I mean, I think I'm feeling excited about being here. It's kind of like finding a secret hideout in the woods or something. I'm like, I think this is really cool. But I'm also uneasy, and I think I want to do that investigation.
So there's the door that you came in, which is closed, and then there's the other door to the east side of the room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, so that's, I want to go there.
Same. And also, I want to ask who wants this potion of heroism. It's not just because it's a potion of heroism. It's because one thing about Tim is that he's really proud of the alchemy potions he makes out of his body. To have somebody other stuff just wouldn't be the same. So someone, please take some other person. It's like, I'm homebrew. This is like, I don't know, just manufactured.
An alchemist warforged named Homebrew. It's a pretty dope idea. That's a pretty good one there, too.
That is now his middle name.
I love it. I'm going to take it mostly because I don't want Night Shift to have it.
Okay.
All right. So with that being said, Night Shift, you do not find any other pieces of the sign in this room.
All right, then he's got to progress to the next one. You got to do these things in stages. It's visceral cleanup detail. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So who's the first one through the door, I guess, is the question.
Oh, no, I think I'll go do it first this time, since everybody, I went last time.
All right. So you go through the door. Once everyone is through it, the door closes behind you.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Automatically, just because, you know. And then the room, it looks similar to the prior one, but then the light that was sort of like sustaining the place, basically the best way to describe it is that it almost like flickers in a way. And when the light comes back on, you notice that you are not alone in the room.
Who's with us?
Well, it's not so much who, but what. So what you'll notice is that there is the little, you might hear some little sounds from above. And if you were to glance up, you see three bats in the room. And as you do that, you also hear the hiss of a snake that sort of crawls out from around near one of the barrels as you are now in a room with three bats and a snake. So at this point, I'm going to at the very least ask for everyone to roll initiative.
I got a 6.
Oh, Jesus. I got a 4. And I well, I have a natural 1.
There we go. So, all right. So, with that being said, Tim, you're first on the scene. So there's some bats around the ceiling, and there's at least one snake that you can see coming up from behind a barrel in the room. What do you do?
Well, I wonder, do I have to start off being violent? Can I do some kind of, I don't know, handling of different types of animals with dice in some type of way?
I mean, you can try.
So
you
I
can roll
shall.
Whatever you want.
I have a +3 with animal handling. So I'm going to see if we can just, you know, if they're going to be chill or not.
You have to pick a specific creature that you're going to be doing this to, though.
Oh, okay. I'm going to start with the 3 bats that are above.
Well, no. You have to a single creature is what I mean.
Oh, then that one fuck-off snake that's over there by itself looking creepy.
Okay. Go ahead and you can make your attempt to do animal handling.
Click.
On it.
19.
Well, I will say this. The specific snake that you are interacting with doesn't seem to be, like, really aggressive. So, like, it does seem to calm down a bit. It does seem to make a really aggressive posture. I will say, though, that is there anything else that you do in your turn at this point?
I feel like that we enter initiative and I want to attack something. But I know.
Well, that you spend your action doing animal handling, basically.
Oh, okay. Other than that, I'll prepare my weapon just in case. So
you can have your weapon drawn.
Out of my arm pops up a little like a slot that comes up, and it's my crossbow that is infused with repeating shot. So I have an infinite ammo crossbow attached to me, and I'm just gonna not do anything else.
All right. So the snake that you're interacting with is notably calm and not really doing much to be aggressive. However, there's another snake around the other barrel, which crawls out and makes an attack on you as you draw out your crossbow. So,
oh, I should have shot that bitch.
Does a 16 hit your armor class?
God damn it, it did. And it wouldn't have if I would have just kept that infusion, but I really wanted that alchemy jug.
With that there, the snake in this case will do its constrict attack, which will do 4 damage to you, bludgeoning, and now you are grappled.
I look at the snake and say, it wouldn't be the first time.
So basically you see that, everyone else sees that Tim goes over and placates one of the snakes so it doesn't attack immediately, but the other snake goes after him and gets him restrained.
I can't jump in because I'm not...
It's not your turn yet.
Right. Yes.
So
I'm like, no, Tim, in slow motion.
Yeah. So then the bats all deploy. Each of them are going to do a bite against each of you. So this will be versus... the first one will go after Tim.
Oh no.
17?
Yeah, my armor class is 15.
You take 1 damage from it. Next one will go after Night Shift. 16?
Yep.
1 damage. And last one, it's a natural 20 against Sin.
Absolutely. 15 armor class. I say, ooh!
But here's the thing. The damage is not dice-based, so it can't actually do more than 1 damage. So it just says 1.
But it's like a perfect bite, and it leaves a cute little mark. I just want to say that. Or a big mark, because I'm a fairy.
Mm-hmm.
I think I lose an arm.
Yeah. Tim is still outraged. It does 1 damage, and Tim is outraged.
All right. So, like, yeah. So the bats all deploy out and do these little things there. Next up, hey, Night Shift, it's your turn.
Tim doesn't even feel the pain anymore. So you're outraged.
Hold still, Mr. Salamander. I'll get you out of this. And I'm going to fire off 2 Eldritch Bolts at the snake constricting him.
Go ahead, make your attacks.
I didn't know the janitor had it in him.
That's a 26 and a 25.
I'm sorry, the second one misses. Oh, wait. No, I'm sorry. Both of them hit. Go ahead and roll your damage. For both?
8 and 12.
All right. So, yeah. Paint me a picture how you dispatch that snake on Tim.
All right. Well, Night Shift's annoyed because he's gonna make this poor salamander leak blood all over his floor. He still does not understand this man is a robot. And he rolls up his sleeves all tough old man-like, and he goes, "Hey, hold still right there, I'll get that critter!" And then he wiggles his fingers a little bit and just shoots two glowing, disgusting green blasts of fire out at these little snakes.
Dan, why is it always like this?
Because I'm a character actor, and I play a specific kind of character. I've played cute characters before, but I won't do it on Dice Funk.
So here's what happens when you hit those two shots off. You dispatch the snake pretty much immediately, but when you do so, something weird happens. Like, both the snake that has, like, Tim, like, grappled, as well as this snake that he placated, suddenly, like, change into, you know, those, like, spring snakes that are like in like fake cans of Pringles and stuff.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
They suddenly become like those and collapse on the ground as the other one is taken out at the same time.
What?
What the hell? It's like we're like in a toy factory. I think Tim turns to Night Shift and touches his face, and now he's making a winky face. And I'm like, thanks there, buddy.
He gives a thumbs up, and neither of his eyes are looking into yours. They're both in completely different directions. Good job!
Can I just kind of kick it a little bit, or like poke it?
Well,
you're currently still being attacked by bats.
Well, you're still being attacked by a bat right now. So, speaking of which, it is your turn, Sin. So you have a bat that's on you, yeah.
Yeah, so I did have I wanted to make friends with these bats. We're both, like, flying buddies, but yep. Apparently that's not going to work. I did have equipped a rapier before, but I changed it since then, and I think my aesthetics are two daggers, which has the same mechanically.
Sure.
But I like this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do an attack on this here bat.
That'll be a d20 plus 6 for the attack roll.
Okay. I did it beautifully and stylishly, and everyone's impressed. I rolled it a natural 20, so a 26.
All right. So as you dispatch the bat that is on you with that natural 20, all three bats suddenly, like, poof and become, like, those little, like, rubber, like, Halloween bats that you would find, like, in a, like, little kid's haunted house and fall to the ground all at once.
What the shit? So I'm going to pick one, or I don't think I can pick it up, but I kind of want to. My reaction is to poke it, okay? Can you guys just let me do this? I just want to nudge it. What's happening?
Night Shift's going to be collecting the other ones to throw out.
Because they're trash?
Yes.
Yeah, so I want to investigate these, but I keep one. I'm like, what the? Like, stop. We need to figure out what's going on.
Sure. Yeah.
You, I think you have OCD. We should talk about it later, Night Shift.
It's just another anomaly. You get these all the time. You can't spend all your days trying to figure out what's happening.
All right. So, if you want to investigate, I'll just give you, they just look normal, like toy bats at this point.
So nothing going on. What
else was in the room?
How's Mr. Jolly Good doing?
Why didn't we throw the weasel at the snake?
What the fuck?
How dare you? How
weasels
dare
fight
you?
Snakes!
Could have had a good time.
Mr. Jolly Good is just napping on Tim, just sort of like just
the whole time.
I'm mixing a new cup of coffee. And I was like, "Are you okay? Aww. Are you good?" And I lift her up on
with
my hands.
With his little vest.
Yes.
Okay.
So, yeah, you've noticed one unusual factor here, but investigating the rest of the room reveals that all looks pretty much like the same as the other room. You have, some nondescript items scattered around. You have little items that are screwing about. You might notice that as you pick up, like, one of the little, like, spring snakes, that you hear a little clattering of something and a silver piece falls out of it onto the ground as you pick it up.
I'm a fairy. I love shiny things. I'm gonna
more
go to
garbage.
It. No, I have to steal. Do I have to roll something to steal it out of Night Shift's hand? Like,
hey, he won't object if you take it from him.
Okay, I take it, and I'm turning around into my tiny little hands.
Is there a real Gorbo Gutterslump, huh? Is there any is there anything in this room that's like broken or like dirty or out of place?
Not particularly. I mean, again, like things look kind of like mundane. It's weird. Like the walls look like they're, it'd be weird. Imagine that they look kind of like drywall, but there's like, but it's like drywall that's been mixed with bits of garbage. So that it just kind of has this look that is both clean, but also like recycled is the best way to describe it.
I feel like Sin feels kind of at home in here and is like, this could be a cool hangout space.
I pick up the little snake that I placated. I was like, I would have named you something great.
Probably has like a little smiley face drawn on it or something, you know.
Oh, I copy that face and put that face on my face.
Yeah. I just, oh my god, that's so cute. Well, we've learned nothing. So, are there any openings to this room?
Investigate the silver thing.
Oh yeah, I need to do that.
Investigate what?
The silver thing is
it's just a piece of silver. Yeah, it's just a silver coin.
It's a piece of silver, but it doesn't.
Oh, wait. Here's a question. Is there anything written on the coin? Is it like a
it's Gorbo Gutterslump. It's just a portrait.
This is after he's gotten his mech and has started a hostile takeover of a neighboring country.
Uh-huh.
You see the letters, investigating the silver piece, you see the letters MD on it.
Oh, a doctor.
So with that, like, you can investigate that area, and nothing else really comes note here quite yet, but you came from one door, it closed behind you, and there's a door to the north in this room.
I feel like we're being led, and I can't say I mind.
All right, well, Night Shift needs an exit strategy. You said there were, like, barrels in this room?
Yeah,
where the snakes were.
Okay, he'll take one of the barrels and drag it to the next door, and just as he opens it up, just kind of try to use the barrel to prop it open, or even lie it down like halfway between the two, so when this door inevitably shuts, it'll have to at least like try to collapse in onto this barrel first.
Good thought. Yeah, so you prop the door up with the barrel, and move on into the next room.
Mm-hmm.
I take it as a group, right? Cool. As you do so, it all looks fine. It looks actually, now this room is a little bit different. There's like a nice rug on the ground.
Ooh, this is what I'm talking about.
There's even like a couch in one corner, and such. But like as you come in, you hear the door closing behind you, and it closes without a problem, unless one of you is watching the door the whole time.
I wanted to watch the door because I was picking up what he was putting down about the barrel blocking the door.
I'm going to the couch.
The barrel just sort of like, here's the thing. The door closes and the barrel just like moves like it has no weight anymore as the door just sort of pushes itself shut without a problem at that point there.
Are we in a dollhouse?
Well, you say that, and then there's another slight flicker of the lights around you, and this time you hear groans, but not groans that are like the fun type, groans that are a little bit more unnerving, perhaps.
This is sex ed.
I was about to say, this is my room, baby.
No, but you hear some groans, and then you hear the sound of like someone moving, and the sound of chain armor and such, and then When the lights come back up, you see yourself in the space, and there are four entities in the room alongside you. In the same room as you. You see what basically looks like a pair of zombies and a pair of hobgoblins behind them.
Ooh, big boys.
Are you going to be dripping rotten meat all over my nice clean floors?
And it's like, it's not clear, how did they get in here? Where did they come from? It doesn't matter. Let's do another quick initiative roll to see how things line up for this room here.
I'd like to note, since
since Sin said that she was paying attention to how Night Shift is reacting to things, he has no concern whatsoever that anything weird is happening.
All right, so we got Tim.
I love that.
Tim's got a 20 there for the initiative. We got 18 for Night Shift. Wow. All right. And was that a 20 for your initiative there, Sin?
Oh, yeah. Wait, so do we both... We both have 20.
So that's what you get to. You get to choose. You get to choose which one of you two goes first.
Would you like to go first, my dear?
Sure. I wish I knew what Bethany guessed what the safe word was. So.
All right. So I'm going to have the hobgoblins go first because.
I like how Sin and Tim are like, do you want to go first? No, you can go first. You want to go first?
We'll go first. And both of them pull out longbows and fire off shots at Tim and Night Shift, the two larger of the entities here. So first is Tim. That's a 15. Does that hit?
My armor class is 15. Does that mean yes or no?
That means yes. And Night Shift, that is also a 15.
Yeah.
So you both take 7 damage as these two hobgoblins shoot off some arrows your way.
Yeesh. Oh, how dare you.
And then they turn into toys.
Well, that's their turn, though. So then at that point there, it is Sin's turn. So you have these two zombies in the room, and you have some two hobgoblins in there as well.
18 plus 6, I got 24. So,
here's a question for you. Do you want to attempt to burn your insightful fighting against it to get sneak attack?
Okay, yes, I do want to do that.
So, roll your insight.
So, I'll roll my insight, which is plus 9, and sneak attack. I'm going to read it just once per turn. You can deal an extra.
Do you
want me to read it?
No. I was doing a roll for the hob. So the hobgoblin rolled deception and got a 2. Your insight was higher than his deception, so you get your sneak attack damage against the hobgoblin while you slide in and, you know, pick it off there.
Aha. Yes. Because sneak attack works when I have an ally adjacent to me. I'm not sure that I feel that way about Night Shift, but I would die for Tim.
No, that's why you did the insightful fighting thing, because insightful fighting means that you can do sneak attack without having an ally nearby. It's the whole point of insightful fighting. Go ahead, read insightful fighting for me real quick.
Yes. As a bonus action, you can make an insight check against a creature you can see that isn't incapacitated, contested by the target's deception check, which you just did, Skitch. You're so good to me. If you succeed, you can use your sneak attack against that target, even if you don't have advantage on the attack roll, but not if you have disadvantage on it for 1 minute. But Skitch would never give me disadvantage. Or until you use this feature against a different target. So get fucked, Hobgoblin.
All right. So to explain what happened, you came up there, you read the motions of the Hobgoblin, and... then you go in and stab at it with your dagger. So go ahead and roll your damage for the dagger and add your sneak attack damage.
I'm going to do a stabby stab.
Yeah, you already did your stab, so just roll your damage.
I like to think as he was attacking us, she flew away and started just cutting them up.
All right, and then roll your 3d6. The sneak attack is 3d6.
A total. 16. I'll do math. 23.
No, 16, because you rolled 7.
Oh,
plus
I
9.
Rolled them twice.
Yeah. So go ahead. How much damage was that again?
16.
Okay. I'm trying to get a clean take of it for Austin here.
So you do
16 damage. So how does it look like when you take out this hobgoblin?
I like to think that I do both daggers at the same time. And I go like in a beeline. As soon as I see what happens, I'm just like, what the fuck? And just two daggers. This is not lethal, is it?
I mean, do you want it to be lethal?
I absolutely want to be lethal.
All right, cool. You do.
This is how I feel about my friends.
At night watch.
I just stab up.
Yeah, so you go in there, you stab it, you know, you stab the shit out of it, and yeah, the hobgoblin goes down. Doesn't seem to bleed that much, but he goes down.
I want to say that there's a lot I regret in my life. Let's just have that out. Maybe I say that a lot. There's a lot I regret in my life as I take the daggers out.
Regret nothing. We're all heading towards eternal decay and entropy as we approach the heat death of the universe.
You know, I'm starting to like you, Night Shift.
I like you guys too, as he poses dramatically.
All right. Cool. All right. So with that, with Sin's, well, Sin, you ran over, you stabbed the hobgoblin. Cool. Next up, Tim, it is your turn. There are still two zombies in the room and the one hobgoblin.
I think Tim won't make the same mistake last time and try to befriend one of them. He touches his face and it becomes like a little cocky smirk. And he pulls out a little bubble blower and puts it towards his face and casts Acid Splash on the two zombies.
All right.
There.
Okay, go ahead. What does Acid Splash do?
You hurl a bubble of acid, choose one or two creatures you see within range of 60 feet. If you choose two, they must be within 5 feet of each other. A target must succeed on a dexterity save minus 15.
Dexterity save of 15, yeah. So
yeah.
So d20 minus 2. All right, well, the first zombie rolls an 11. Second one rolls a 2, so they both fail. How much damage do they take?
So normally, I'm level 5, so they would take 2d6.
Mm-hmm.
But I am an alchemist.
Okay.
And my special ability, where did I put it? Alchemical Savant. Whenever you cast a spell using your alchemical supplies, my little thing that I blew, you gain a +4 bonus to one of those rolls. The roll must be a damage that deals acid, fire, necrotic, poison,
mm-hmm.
or healing.
Right.
So I can heal +4 damage. So let me roll that.
Yeah.
Now.
So you can roll the damage die and then just add 4 to it.
+4. Enter. I did it correctly.
Okay.
It was 10.
All right, 10. Very good. Yep. All right, so you do 10 damage to both zombies. There's a hiss, you know, as they get hit by that. And is there anything else that you do on your turn, Tim?
I tell Sin how lovely she was killing that hobgoblin.
And I'm just moving my hand back and forth and kind of like fluttering. And then I look immediately at, I think I want to just make direct eye contact with Night Shift, however much that's possible.
You can get one eye at once.
And say, Night Shift, you think you can help clean this up? Because the zombies.
Absolutely. After I absolutely liquidate these fuckers from a living, I'm going to clean this right up.
Okay, whatever you need. Did you say liquidate?
Okay. Let's see. I'll take aim at the hobgoblin for the moment and try to take him out. I'm gonna just fire off two more Eldritch Blasts.
It would make me feel good about myself if you killed that hobgoblin, because I'm not willing to be reflective, nor am I willing to be held accountable for my actions.
All right, go ahead, make your two attacks.
And Night Shift is a empty void that reflects nothing. 21 and 26.
Yeah, so you knock out that hobgoblin easily. As you do so, kind of like with the other creatures, something weird happens. There's like this slight, almost like glamour type fey like effect that fades off, and the hobgoblin hit like falls backwards, and halfway through the fall they look like they're like a wooden cutout of a hobgoblin, like at a carnival, that just falls over and lands on its back on the ground.
I would like to state something. You said knock out. There is in no way a non-lethal aspect to anything Night Shift is doing right now.
Well, I mean, the point being that, like, even if you tried to decapitate this thing in the most gruesome way that we wouldn't be able to show on the HBO adaptation of this,
of course,
it would result in a cute, like, cutout of a hobgoblin falling out on its back on the ground there.
Right. I would just like to get across where, while Sin clearly has some level of reservation with the horrific murder she just enacted on this this hobgoblin, Night Shift does not have a single reservation, or even appears to consider what the moral implications of his actions.
I feel resolved from all of that, now seeing the wooden cutouts and looking for that silver.
Well, I mean, like, it's not your turn yet, so we'll get there. Speaking about your turn, it is the zombies' turns now, and, they're gonna go after the ones that just took out the hobgoblins, because, you know, those are very big threats. So,
I tried to one-shot both of them.
Yeah, it's gonna take more than that. So, zombie one attempts to attack Sin. And rolls a 2 as it tries to swing its fist. Sets in. You know, big ol' whiff. The other one goes after Night Shift. The only thing that looks possibly more decrepit than the zombie in the room. And rolls a 19.
Jeez.
That hit.
So I'm flying. I'm like fluttering out of reach and just have my arms crossed and kind of an eyebrow raised.
So Night Shift takes 3 damage as the other zombie swings and sort of connects. And now we're back to Sin's turn.
Okay, I gotta fuck up these zombies.
All right. If you want to, you can go ahead and do your little insight thing.
I got a 21.
The zombie rolled a natural 1, so yeah.
You got a negative 2.
A negative 2.
I will say that for the purpose of the attack, you do have advantage for it. So go ahead,
okay.
Roll your attack twice and take the better of the rolls there, Sin.
Jesus, it was a 23 or a 26. I fucking crit.
Well,
so
all right, so you rolled a crit. Let's just do the big numbers here for you here. So crit in this case means you do 2d4 plus 3 plus 6d6 damage, because as we know, when you crit in an attack, any dice that you roll for damage that's based off that attack gets their dice doubled. So roll me some big numbers.
Oh my god, the zombie's gonna explode from this tiny fairy.
Yeah.
You're gonna fly up its nose and just pop his head open.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, so that was a 37. We make a great team. Finish the job. Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if this is about to turn into a toy, but...
well, at the moment, it doesn't seem to, but... Yeah, like you. This is the second enemy that you critted in this dungeon here.
Uh-huh.
Its head just flies right off. You just
I get a little splatter on me.
No, there's no blood.
Oh, okay.
No blood in these bodies, but you just the head just kind of pops off as you do that. And Tim, you got one zombie left in the room. What do you do to it?
Well, I'm going to go and. Since it's, you know, over there now, I'm going to use my crossbow.
I'm such a dangerous little fairy.
Uh-huh. Now you know why the students are afraid of you. Yeah. I heard that Miss Sin looked at a guy and his neck fucking ruptured.
Ooh, did somebody record this?
All right. Your attack lands true. Go ahead and roll your damage.
You know what? I should just fix that R. I think what takes me long, because I copied and pasted it so I never mess it up again. That was my secret. But the R is still a space over, and I got to keep fixing that.
All right. How does it look like when you take out this last zombie?
I'm nonchalantly lifting up my arm, and inside a magical little needle comes out, and it shoots it directly towards the pinpoint of the back of his head.
Cool.
Oh
as it impacts, there's another glamour magic. And the two zombies appear to be basically large, like, plush carnival toys. The one that was decapitated earlier, like, has stuffing, like, jutting out of its decapitated neck hole and such.
Oh, I don't like this.
I love it. How cute.
I feel like we're playthings with other playthings. Oh. Does that make sense?
Wait, like this could happen to us?
Has the Academy ever held like some sort of carnival or anything like that?
That's a great question. And the answer is, well, not like this. You don't remember zombie plushes at the carnival. You remember the last carnival they had, they were selling like people were making little JJJ like little toys and stuff like that because everyone loves that weasel. But, you know, nothing like this. This still seems a little weird.
Okay.
But as you mentioned that, what else do you do now that you have a moment to kind of look over this room?
Well, number one, he's collecting the stuffing that's most likely falling out of the decapitated one's neck.
Because it's trash.
Yeah, because it's trash. He probably can't keep carrying around all this garbage with him, so he's just going to like stack it up someplace for him to collect later. You said there was a carpet on this floor?
Yeah, there's a rug on the floor.
Okay, Night Shift is going to say, now a little custodian trick for you. A lazy custodian is really only going to care about the visible areas. But he's going to then pull up the rug to see if there's anything under it.
Very good move there. You do that, you see there's like a little trap door in the floor, actually.
Oh my god, killing it, Night Shift.
See, we gotta go clean the basement.
What do you do once you see that trap door there?
First, I'm just going to make a glance around the room and make sure there's nothing else that needs to be cleaned.
I think Tim is going to look at it and it's like, well, I don't like that. And then I'm going to lift up my arm and you hear a small little whirring and then a ding. And under his arm comes out a small vial. And I'm going to use a spell slot to make one of my elixirs. And I give Night Shift an experiment to elixir of flight. The drinker gained a flying speed of 10 feet for 10 minutes.
Oh, do I have to take it right now, or is it like a...
You can take it when you want to.
Okay. Thank you for the eye drops! And he stashes it in his pocket.
I feel like we may be falling soon, just in case. I don't trust it, though.
So I'm trying to pull it open and say, can I get some help here?
I put a glove on my mage hand to open it to help.
Did you put another glove?
Yes.
Well, the doors have been clean this whole time, so.
Sure.
Well, in case one of them breaks or one of them slips off.
You open the trap door, and it doesn't lead into another room or anything, but it looks like there is inside of there, like, best way to describe it is a little, there's a small, like, little tin. A small tin in there, actually.
Like I grab that with my mage hand after I put on another glove.
Okay.
Investigate it.
Well, it's just like a little tin container that you can see. It's decorated kind of simply and otherwise.
So we have I'll open it.
Inside you see a small stack of what look to be cookies.
This is very Alice in Wonderland.
We have a silver coin, a tin of cookies, a bunch of dolls. I don't feel like this place is particularly malevolent, but then again, that hobgoblin did hit the shit out of me.
Hey, Night Shifter, are you hungry?
Absolutely!
I'm going to toss him one of these little biscuits.
He sort of like catches it in the air with his teeth, and then he like scurries off into a corner and eats it like Gollum.
Cool. Give me a constitution saving throw there, Night Shift.
You bet.
He's used to this, though. He, like, drinks sewer water and...
That's an 18.
Okay, well, I got some bad news for you, Night Shift. Okay, you rolled an 18 year constitution saving throw. Okay.
Oh,
well,
that's pretty good.
I got some bad news for you. The cookie is absolutely delicious.
Uh-huh.
And you immediately gain the benefits of a long rest after consuming it.
Yay!
Oh!
So, like, you just feel vitalized. You feel uncannily vitalized from eating the cookie there while you're hunched in a corner. You probably, like, have, like, a power squat going on while you're eating the cookie for no reason, I'm assuming.
He looks like a little rat man. He's like, you know, in the Lord of the Rings movies, when Gollum's like in his squat, just eating. Like,
I absolutely had like. That image.
Hey, they don't make them like they used to, but this is delicious.
I'm like, seems not poisonous. I've only had one damage taken to me, so.
I mean, like, again.
I have a very small appetite. So.
Sure. I'm just saying, Night Shift probably doesn't realize what it does to you all. Yeah, all you know is that the creepy trash man isn't dead after eating the cookie.
Wait,
so
I know exactly what Night Shift says after eating this. He says, "Wow, it feels like on a scale of 0 to 33, I'm back at 33."
How many cookies are there? Are there 3 cookies in there?
There are exactly 3 cookies in the tin.
I throw another cookie at Night Shift.
I think I'll take a cookie, and just in case, I'll make another elixir. I'll make one of resilience.
If you throw it to him, he stores it in his beard for later and says that he'll need this come winter.
I'll make one of resilience to hold in my hand, and then I incorporate the cookie into my body.
Okay, Constitution saving throw.
Constitution saving throw. That's plus 5, so that would be.
Huh. I don't like that you make them roll, Skitch. It makes me nervous.
It's because they're expecting something bad. That's the reason why. So
19.
Okay. So, like, as you incorporate, what's your favorite flavor of cookie, Tim?
White chocolate macadamia.
Yeah, so the cookie was very nondescript, but it tastes like white chocolate macadamia. And you immediately gain the benefits of a long rest. So your hit points are healed up. Any spells that you... anything that you use that was a recharge on a short rest or long rest immediately recharges.
Night Shifts tasted like what children think Tide Pods taste like.
Yes.
What the fuck? I since nothing happens to me, I give my... elixir of resilience to Sin and say, if you drink it, you get 1 bonus AC for 10 minutes. But like, I seem fine. I thought something worse was going to happen.
All right. Well, with that being said, there are the only other way to go is the door to the west.
Yeah, let's go.
Actually, well, sorry, I might say, you open the door and you see a set of stairs that go up.
Okay, I think we should go. Also, before we leave the room, like Night Shift, you close the door and put the rug back, right? I just want to be clear.
Of course, absolutely.
This time I was like, you know what? Let's try something like you did before, and I try to pick up the couch
to put it in between
the
door.
The couch blocked the way. Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna mess up the feng shui.
Terrible. All right, so do you leave the couch at the doorway as you go on up the stairs?
Yes, I try to see if that will stop the door from behind us from closing.
Well,
what did we say earlier? I said it's all right, I'm Asian, we can keep going.
Wait, was that recorded?
It's recorded now. Anyways, you go on up the stairs, which leads up to another door at the top of the stairs.
Oh, well, I have a negative in strength, so I don't think I could take it up the stairs. So I'm just going to leave it there.
All right. You could go ahead and are going to open the door to go on up.
Absolutely.
I'm going to pour another cup of coffee for Sin now.
Oh, thank you so much. And it was a good idea. You know, you want to get the couch up there. I think it was a good idea. Not everything works out.
You had to pivot. You had to pivot to get it up the stairs. Just a bit.
All right, Night Shift. Are you a tea or coffee man?
Windex.
I open the door.
So you open up the door. And you enter a room that has only you enter a room. As you enter it, door closed behind you. There is a single door to the north, and there is also like some looks like little like pillars that are on the ground that have little symbols on them that like, you know, like shapes like squares, triangles, and stuff like that.
Puzzle.
Night Shift is now primed and waiting for every time we enter a room for the lights to go off and something to shoot appear in front of him. So he's just reflexively just going to fire off a bolt of Eldritch Blast anytime the lights go out.
Well, the lights have not gone out. The lights have not gone out. We enter the room, but you have like
that was a threat little, sketch.
You have these little pillars there. And feel free to investigate the room if you wish.
Okay. Well, you said there were symbols on these pillars?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Just roll your investigation to interpret the room.
Okay.
I got a 12.
Okay.
With my plus 9, I got a 12.
I got a 7.
With my plus 4, I got a 14.
You have one eye, Night Shift. It's fine.
He's got two eyes. They just don't point in the same direction.
Well, there's a couple things you notice as you know, there is like a fine layer of like dust on the ground.
Oh God.
Ooh, I'll put on another glove.
You may notice. You may also notice these pillars look almost like coffins that are sort of set up upright. And
it's metal.
Night Shift, you notice something else in the room because, you know, your senses are tingling. Your detect work senses are tingling.
I see.
Over the door that you just came in, there is a piece of wood that looks like it's from another piece of wood that broke. In other words, mystery basement.
I'll have to get that. Well, now hold on. That Night Shift has an ethical question here. With this room, it looks kind of like a tomb, right?
No, actually. It just kind of looks like the other rooms. It's just that the floor, like, has some dust on it, and there are these, like, pillars that look like coffins.
Oh, never mind that, because I was going to say, because the coffins, if it looks like a tomb, aesthetically speaking, there should be a certain amount of dust, and he respects the classics. but in this case, step one, he's going to, of course, take the sign.
Okay. The sign says what?
It says, welcome to Duskglade's mystery basement.
Oh, okay, because I was going to say the other sign said Duskglade's.
Yeah, Duskglade's. Yeah, Duskglade's mystery basement. Basement is effectively what it says.
Did the school ever run an escape room? Because this feels like an escape room.
Are we in a team building exercise?
I'm starting to feel like it's a team building exercise.
I mean, Orwin was right. I do appreciate Night Shift more.
Yes, but I don't think my teamwork with you could be any higher, my dear. Aww.
Can we like bump? Can we bump elbows?
All right. So you found like and also if you wish to, you can cast mending to fix the signs, and now it looks nice and clean.
Absolutely. All right. Absolutely.
So
I was going to say that does bother me that other sign was incomplete.
So now at this point, you have these coffin like things, and there's dust on the ground.
Okay. Well, there's clearly a puzzle here. We investigated the room. Were there symbols on these coffins?
Yes, there were. There was a square, a triangle, and a circle.
Okay. Big Harry Potter energy. I think we might have to press these in like an order, probably. Maybe. I don't know.
That's not Harry Potter. That's a Fifth Element.
This is Squid Games.
Oh, yeah. Squid Game.
Okay. I'll get the knife.
We all have to pick one of these movies. It's one of them.
But anyways, there are those are the three little pillars, and there are just markings on them as such. So, but like I said, the only other note, there's dust on the ground.
Is there anything in the dust where it's been like disturbed by anything that wasn't us so far?
Yes. You can actually see like little like areas where it looks like things have been pushed through the dust leading up to where the coffins are.
Okay.
This is rather than even, that's what it is.
Night Shift is going to attempt to push the coffins back to where they seem to maybe have come from.
All right. If you attempt to do so, they slide remarkably easily. Like, it doesn't take much effort to push them.
Okay.
So you're able to move them into position, the order, if it do you want to guess what the order is?
For them? It was a square, circle, triangle.
There was just three. Those were just what the three symbols were.
Right. I'm going to guess it's circle, triangle, square.
You'd be wrong. This is not a Squid Game reference. Get that out of your head.
Oh, damn. I typed that in.
I was going based off the number of sides.
See, that's a good thought there. But it depends on how one interprets what a side is on a circle.
Look, man, I got like a C in geometry.
I mean, I'll just restate. There's dust on the floor.
I start dusting.
Roll me a d20 to see how effective you dust. And everyone else rolls a constitution saving throw to keep from choking on the dust.
This is what we get. This is what we get for not being clever.
Do I add anything to this, to my cleaning chip?
You just add your shame.
Yeah, roll d20 plus proficiency.
Got it. Oh no, I'm not a very proficient janitor. 13.
I got a 14 plus 5, 19.
21.
All right, so basically, Night Shift kind of goes off, all right? You don't know where he got that broom from, because he didn't come into the building with it. He just has it now.
Uh-huh.
He's sweeping up a storm, and on the floor, you see three symbols. A triangle, a square, then the circle. And on like little like square indents on the ground.
Based off the order he said that in, I'm going to push it in the triangle, then the square, then the circle.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I need to convince Night Shift to do this with another cookie or something.
he has a backup cookie already there. So you push the pieces around and you set them in place. As you do that, you hear like little clicks, audible clicks as they each kind of land in place. And then as the last coffin, which is the last coffin do you put in place?
That'd be the circle.
The circle.
The circle one. All right. As you put the circle one in place, do a reflex saving throw for me, Night Shift.
Oh, did we do it backwards?
Yeah, just even a d20 plus 2 there, Night Shift.
Yeah. 17.
All right. The coffin with the circle bursts open, and you see what looks like a wraith bursting out of it right in front of you as it flies into the room.
I hope you just try to start sweeping it.
I think first what happens is, like, I'm guessing I made the reflex save, right?
Yes, you did. You did, okay. Fine. What did you roll?
Chip's like, yeah. 17. That, yeah. Chip's upper body, like, he bends backwards at the knees for a moment till his back is perfectly parallel with the ground, and then in this horrible, like, bone cracking sound, re-unfurls to standing straight up.
Oh my god.
Oh my goodness. I think I have a T that can help with that. My goodness.
And he's gonna attack the ghost with an eldritch.
Well, let's roll initiatives real quick then. Let's get our... Let's see, every time... Yeah, this is our last encounter here, so...
When I see the wraith, I pop open that potion. I pop open that potion and bottoms up with the potion of heroism.
15.
Okay. We got. What did you roll there for Tim there, Pooh, for the initiative?
I got a 4.
Okay. Night Shift is 15. What is Sin's initiative?
22.
All right. So with that being said, Sin, you get the first action, and... you have an ally that is adjacent to the wraith.
I'm going to attack the wraith.
All right, so you go in, make your attack.
And I've got, I don't know, can you attack a wraith with the daggers? I'm doing it.
Why don't you try? Try and find out.
We're going to learn today.
22 hits. Go ahead and roll your damage. So that's going to be d4 plus 3 plus 3d6.
19.
Very good. All right. Let me go ahead and just. Let me go ahead and just.
So I do a stab, but I also flutter away. I'm like.
That's fine. You could choose to do that. That's an option. Let me get my character, my notes here. Yes. Okay.
I'm not super clear on the mechanics of the Wraith. I don't think I want to be super clear. It did just come out of a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to take care of Night Shift because I'm feeling a little closer now. But also, I'm like, what the fuck did you just do with your body? So, hence the
it's
in,
gonna get
the
worse
out.
In a moment.
Oh no!
All right, so let's see here. 19. So that's I'm trying to do math in my head. I'm really bad at math in my head here, so I apologize for the humming. Okay. All right. Cool. All right. You get that attack off, and you flit away. The Wraith is up, and it's going to try to attack Night Shift.
Okay, dokie.
I hope this isn't Mr. Duskblade.
It rolls a 10 on its attack roll. Does that hit Night Shift?
It does not.
All right, so basically what you see is, like, the Wraith, like, reaching up and, like, this claw-like hand swipes at Night Shift, but Night Shift bends back even further.
Oh no, please stop.
It's just trying to get your cookie.
It's mine!
Or you think it is.
That's all it can do in its turn. Like, it doesn't move away from Night Shift because it's going after the thing that interfered with its coffin. So, Night Shift, you're up. What do you do?
Okay, well, I dislike that this fiend, this dastardly little creature, wants my cookie, and also destroyed that nice coffin that I now have to repair.
I mean, this is the fault. Is this Night Shift's fault because you're the one who has this, like, OCD wanting to put everything in its place? And we didn't need to do this.
It's his literal job.
His literal job.
Okay, I am going to cast Dissonant Whispers on it.
It rolls a 16 and therefore saves against your Dissonant Whispers. Is there any effect? Roll the damage for me, please.
This is also, I guess, being cast at a third level spell slot. So that would be for each slot level above first. So that's 5d6.
Go ahead and roll that damage.
5d6. 19, so that'd be whatever that is, half.
9. It halves and rounds down. So that halves. Okay, cool. All right. So does Night Shift do anything else after that attack?
So Night Shift's two eyes finally move slowly to the center of his face.
Oh, no.
And then go all black as he slowly raises an arm and points his index finger at this creature and just lets an open mouth silent scream for 6 seconds and then lowers his arm back down and his eyes go back to pointing in different directions.
Very wholesome. Love it.
Disturbing.
Oh gosh. Tim touched his face and now he's making like a ugh.
Well, while you're touching yourself there, Tim, what are you going to do now in this situation here?
He is going to make sure to not get any type of close to that creature. I'm not sure how Wraiths, their resistance and stuff like that, but I'm pretty sure it can take acid. And acid is my specialty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to cast Acid Arrow.
All right, go ahead and roll.
26.
All right, that hits. Go ahead and roll your damage.
44. And again, Alchemic Savant, I do an extra 4 damage. So.
Get them, sweet cheeks.
Oh, that was terrible.
Well.
It's 12 damage.
I do like that the fairy is, like, very effective.
Oh, and it takes an extra 2d4 acid at the end of its next turn. I don't know if I'd do an extra 4 damage with that, though.
All right. Well, no, because it'll only be on one die from the spell. So it only applies in the first one there. At the end of this thing, there is a little bit of sense between Sin and Tim that the damage that they're putting out is not as effective as you would hope. I mean, it's still doing stuff, but there's a little inefficacy to what's going on. But you're still hurting it, so.
So there are some other things that I could be doing, like what I did with the Hobgoblin to do a stronger attack.
You already do that naturally because an ally is adjacent to the enemies.
Okay, so okay. So I didn't need to do the insightful fighting like I did then.
Right. I mean, your other thing might apply. We'll get to that on the next turn initiative here. I know what you're thinking about doing here.
Okay.
So.
Thank you, Sketch.
So.
All right, I'm rolling a d20.
Yeah, so go ahead and make your, yeah. So you fly in and you try to stab at the wraith with your dagger again.
I get a 12.
That hits.
Oh.
So go ahead and
do my
roll your
slashy
damage.
Slash. Yeah.
Yeah, do your, that's 1d4 plus 3 plus 3d6.
Oh, that's how much damage she needs
take
to do.
Take fucking that.
Plus, okay, I did.
All right, Cupcake. Okay. 362 damage. Thanks, Skitch. It's been a great show.
Sneak attack. Okay.
What? That D became a 5 somehow. I don't know.
Oh, my brain. it's like night shifts. Okay, so... Okay, 13.
All right. Cool. All right. So, after that, the turn rolls over and the wraith raises its arm to try to attack Night Shift again.
Oh, can I react to someone else being attacked?
That's literally what your power is about.
Yeah. So, silvery barbs. Are we on the same page?
I will rewind. I need to do the attack first, and we'll then see if silver barbs applies here. So
yeah, maybe Night Shift will practice limbo again.
13 is the attack roll.
I've decided I'm not going to do it to help Nightshade. I mean Night Shift. I don't know why I started calling you Nightshade.
That's his deviant art OC.
No. Tim has probably seen it though.
The wraith turn comes up, it raises its arms and attempts to do a life drain on Night Shift for whatever life there might be in him. It swings its arm, and on the initial roll, it connects with a 13.
So absolutely not. I'm going to use my silvery barbs reaction, and I'm going to read that off. You magically distract the triggering creature and turn its momentary uncertainty into encouragement for another creature, which is you, Night Shift, because we're friends now, because I fully believe this is a team-building activity escape room that we've been sent to by Headmaster Orwin. Mm-hmm. And the triggering creature must re-roll the d20 and use the lower roll. So you get disadvantage, Skitch.
And in fact, it rolls a 12 on the re-roll, which... does that miss?
Yeah, it does. I have a 13.
So
it's just enough.
And yep, and the after effect is that Night Shift, I guess, has the advantage on the next roll.
Yes, I would like Night Shift to have the advantage.
Oakley doakley. Can I describe what happens when he dodges this attack due to her
You're going to anyway.
Yes. So I think Night Shift once again attempts to limbo his way out of this, but he starts to lean back and his back just kind of, you hear like a bad crack. Like an old man that's thrown out of his spine. He goes, "Oh, my back!" And then just with
wince.
A little bit of encouragement, he gets that just little bit he needs to keep going backwards.
Oh my gosh.
All right, this is probably like one of those blow-up water gun things where you shoot water into it until it goes up and then you win a prize. Yeah, okay. I'll cast Hex as a bonus action on this little guy.
Yeah. Yeah, you hex it up like you're the Eldritch school graffiti shows up all over the wraith as you hex it.
Mm-hmm. And it says, what was the thing we said before?
Squeezing? Get it?
Squeeze it right in the squeezy.
Not squeeze it right in the scrussy. Yeah, is that what the graffiti says?
Yeah, it says squeeze it right in the scrussy. Okay.
God.
No, it gets worse every time.
And I'm going to Eldritch Blast twice, which means I think
right
I'm
in the scrussy.
Yeah, right in the scrussy.
Do it.
One, two, and then I might as well just only roll a third time. three. So yeah, those would be the effective rules.
I want every listener to be like, what the fuck is squeezing?
All right, so the total damage there is what? 2d10 plus 8 plus 2d6?
Yeah, 2d6. And the target has disadvantage on ability checks made with the chosen ability. Dexterity, sure.
Sure, yeah.
So
roll that tasty damage there.
9, so that's 18 plus 14, which is a number that exists in the universe as I type it into Google.
32!
Yeah, there we go, it's 32. 33, mm-hmm. actually.
32 damage, yeah. So, like, you hit that, and normally necrotic damage wouldn't hurt a wraith, but this one seems pretty affected by it there, so...
Something's going on.
So, yeah, so with that... it looks pretty raggedy after that hit. It's pretty rough. Tim, it is your turn. That the wraith looks like it's on the ropes. What do you do?
Well, I remember that it needs to do. It takes another D2D4 acid damage.
Ooh, that's right. We'll have it kick in now. So let's see here. Okay, yeah, so it takes a few extra hits, so it's really close to being done at this point here. It took an extra 5 damage minus something from the acid arrow. So it's looking really rough, Tim.
Now that that's going on, I'm going to continue with my acid spray and do another bubble. It worked well last time.
All right, so what does the acid spray do? What do I need to do for that?
It's a DC... Why did it disappear? Where's my action? Where's my spells? Oh, yeah. You had a dexterity 15 save.
Dexterity 15 save. Well, let's see here. It's a save, not an ability check. So it makes 15. So what happens to the damage for that?
Just type 362 and hit enter.
Oh, no. You take one.
Yeah. So it's a cantrip, so it takes none.
Why does this take one then? It must succeed. Oh.
It must succeed.
Gotcha. Cantrip. Right. Yeah. Right. Cantrips. So, I like that.
So you put up a bubble and the bubble bounces off because this, it's a bubble ghost effectively. There's a nice Apple IIgs reference for you all or Amiga reference for you all. Anyways, and the bubble floats off. It pops elsewhere, leaving us with Sin.
I think it'd be funny if we all miss and it just takes acid damage.
All right, roll your damage. That's 1d4 plus all that stuff there.
Is that right? I got 13 again.
Well, how does it look like when you finish off the wraith here?
I like the idea that I fly down because I have been flying and disengaging and flying. But this time, pretty much knowing that Night Shift just seems to like to... to bend in these ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like fly over Night Shift, you bend. It's almost like we're doing a dance. And then I do my like swish and flick with my daggers.
So what happens is you stab the dagger right into the wraith and you hear a pop effectively. And when the pop happens, you see like, the latex for like a balloon fall down from underneath it, and you see that it looks like basically like a bedsheet ghost that's been suspended by a string from the ceiling of the room as you dispense with it.
I was like, I know what that is. That is latex, I can tell you what.
It's actually vinyl. I'm sorry.
Oh my god.
Even better.
But so there you go. The wraith has been felled.
It's just a little mystery house. Just a little...
it's a mystery basement. It says mystery.
All right. I say good work, everyone. It seems like we are here to be better friends.
I think I want us all to take a selfie.
Night Shift is mending the coffin.
Oh, mending the coffin. Okay, well, whatever. I'm still taking a selfie. Let's get Mr. Jolly good. This is our first team building exercise.
A selfie? I'm really excited. With what?
I have no idea.
What's a selfie?
I think I take out a piece of paper and I think about how we would look. And then I do magical tinkering and it puts a picture of how it should look of us looking back at piece of paper.
I love it. It looks nothing like this, Tim. I love it.
All right. Well, after you do the mending on the coffin, the only thing really left is that there is a door leading to the north.
We, of course, go through the door.
All right. You go through the door, and you're greeted with an slightly unusual sight. So, it's unusual in that, like, what you see in here is the following. So, there's, like, there's another rug. There is a little dining table with four chairs set on it. There's some small dishes set out, and there's, like, cake and other similar items on the table nearby the dishes.
It's a little celebration for us completing our team building exercise. Could you pour some tea, Tim?
Absolutely.
If anyone wants to roll perceptions or investigations, you may do so to investigate this room.
We are at that table.
Absolutely.
Oh, fuck.
What did you roll there?
I botched.
Oh,
well, I got a one.
You're
plus nine.
You're enthralled by the cake there.
Is perception or investigation?
I mean, I didn't
either
eat the
or
cookie.
Your choice.
Investigation for me. 23.
All right. First thing of note, the door that you came through doesn't close behind you.
Okay.
Second note, there are some other things like barrels and other items of choice in there. There's a there's like a little card on the table that has like the words congratulations written on it.
Mm-hmm.
The other things of note is that on the far corner, there's like something that looks like, well, an oven in the room. And then along the far wall nearby the oven is a simple treasure chest.
Are these cakes fresh?
What?
Do the cakes seem fresh?
I thought you said, are the kicks fresh? Like, are the shoes? Like, what kicks do we have here? So, are the cakes? Well, they're fresh. It's not like they are. If you examine the cake appears to be freshly made. Yes.
Can I enlarge the cake?
You may use enlarge, reduce, to make the cake even bigger if you wish.
I have but one question. Is there any gum stuck to the underside of this table?
No.
Okay. Thank God.
Is there
honey to his tea?
But if you want to examine anything else in the room, you'll have to, you know, get closer to those other items. But
I'm interested in the treasure chest. I'll say
there's a running oven in this room.
Yes, that's a good. The oven is actually running.
Oh well, that's just unsafe. So once Joe deals with the treasure chest, I'm gonna go turn that off.
Yeah, and I'm going to incorporate this cake into my body and give it a taste.
Yeah, I mean, you cut us all a slice, honey, and I'm going to go look at this shiny new thing and see what we got.
I taste it first, checking for poison or disease.
All right, well, now that you're up at the chest, I'll deal with night shift first. Hey, night shift, so you go to the oven, you don't really see a way to turn it off. But you do notice four letters written on the oven. O-O-J-D.
Well, the other thing said M-D, and this says O-O-J-D. Or one jolly good. Wait, no, I'm just kidding. That doesn't make any sense.
All right, we gotta put the little weasel right in the oven.
I might need to check the tin and see if there was any letters in there.
We'll worry about those things later. The first thing we have, the other thing of note, okay, Sin, you go up to the chest. Roll insight.
17.
You roll 17. Okay. You notice that the chest just faintly, like, has a slight twitch to it at times in a way that
they're not supposed to do that.
They're not supposed to do that. Yes.
So I'm a little taken aback. And I say, fellas, this is not a chest. What the fuck is this?
When you say not a chest.
Mm-hmm. Come over here right now.
As the cake is,
I need you, Tim.
As the cake is smushed in me, I start walking over.
Nightwatch, as he's trying to figure out how to turn off this oven, will just say, "I know it's probably some sort of creature masquerading as a chest."
Oh, really?
I'm bringing out my little daggers and I'm poking it.
As you get the dagger close, you hear a voice saying, "Ah, shit! Don't hurt me, please."
Aww.
Oh.
Tim, pour a cup of tea.
Oh, sure. I pour another cup of tea.
Now, I've taken, as Skitch had mentioned earlier, several, maybe three times, you know, high stakes negotiation tactics classes. And I think we should approach with caution, Blake. Honey, sorry. What's going on here? I thought you were just a little treasure chest.
I just wanted to say congratulations for making it through my little mystery dungeon.
Well, it was quite interesting. Oh, can I roll to see how the cake tasted?
In this case, I want you to roll. Yeah, Constitution saving throw.
Plus 5. Oh, my favorite number, 8.
Oh, wow. So, it's almost too rich. That's like, so it's like, oh, you should, like, I should not have had all that at once. This was a nibbling cake, not a devouring cake.
Ooh, like my favorite cheesecake. Ooh.
You live and learn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take an extra cup of tea for that one.
The chest, Mr. Dusty, is this like mixed dust glades? Do you run this place?
Duskglade is where I'm from.
Oh, well, tell us about yourself. Do you want some cake?
No, the cake is for you. I made it.
Well, here's some tea. Would you like honey or cream?
Wait, hold on a second. How'd you make a cake? You don't got arms.
Now, Night Shift, don't be rude.
As you look over the mimic and say that, you feel a hand tap you on the shoulder.
Oh, dear.
And when you look, you see an arm reaching to you from the ceiling, and it waves lightly.
I have my crossbow is out and ready.
Ah, ceiling arms. That makes sense. Carry on.
Oh.
And then the arm, like, recesses away into the ceiling. And the chest says, the oven over there, it's what I use to make the cake.
Well, that's so sweet of you. Do you have a name?
My name is my creator called me Toy Witch, and his name was Arnold, so I call myself Arnie.
Well, that's a little weird, honey. I think you need therapy, but could you tell us how to turn off this oven?
Oh, you don't need to worry about the oven. It just makes desserts.
Are you aware that you're currently in a waste recycling facility?
I'm aware that this is where I am. I don't know how I got here. When my creator passed away when we were living in Duskglade, the villagers came in and threw me out along with the oven of just desserts over there. And somehow,
not the oven of just desserts.
Oh my gosh.
You poor thing, Arnie.
And somehow I ended up over here.
Well, we gotta do something about this. Do you like making desserts, Arnie?
Well, yeah. I also like making little dungeons. That's what my master made me to do. I can, and as Arnie sort of like says this, you can see the room like around you just shift entirely to look like one of the other rooms in the building.
Whoa!
So much like how
the flicker.
So much like how a mimic can change their own body. I'll just say this, you can intuit this sin directly. This mimic can manipulate the world, the building around it.
Mm-hmm. But they're not malicious.
And this is amazingly powerful.
Night Shift snaps his fingers, remembering something, and he strolls up to little Arnie, gets down on one knee and says, "All right, we're on a bit of a job here. Do you know anything about a Orba Cunnilingus?"
Yes.
Oh, well. Oh, no. I was going to ask about the initials. Like, well, what about the OOJD?
Yeah, MD-OOJD.
MD.
I don't know anything about an orb, but the coin is what I would give as little tokens to the kids who go through the dungeon. It stands for Mystery Dungeon.
Of course it does.
The oven is Oven of Just Desserts. Oh no.
Right? Oh my god.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
It just makes desserts.
I love this. All right. I love this. You're coming with us. How do we get out?
I'm going to pull Tim to the side, I think, because I don't think Night Shift really cares about the students or their learning.
Here's the thing. He's not meant to be in the trash recycling facility. So Night Shift's going to get to work on getting this little creature to where he needs to be, and he's going to start ritual casting Tensor's floating disc.
So you're planning on taking Arnie with you. Okay. I'll also throw in, while you're doing all this,
I think we should ask Arnie how they feel about this.
Tim.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an intelligence check, please.
Oh, my specialty.
Yes. Incidentally, this party has one charisma, one wisdom, and one intelligence specialist. It's accidentally well lined up there, because I know you did not intend that to be the party composition here, so.
Yeah, that's good.
A dirty 20.
Well, for the one moment of clarity, you remember what Orin actually was talking about, which was the magic item has something to do with conjuration, which is the branch of magic that includes creation, teleportation, and otherwise. And an oven that can just create desserts out of nothing would fall under the purview of conjuration.
Oh, yeah, I thought I was going to take that oven.
So Arnie's sort of like looking up at looking up at Night Shift as you're casting the Tensor's floating disc. And he's like, are you sure that you all want to take me along with you?
You and this oven, yes.
I don't know if you've ever thought about how you could be helping other people with this beautiful gift you have, honestly, to make these dungeons. But I think there's a lot of students out there who might benefit from this team building exercise. I don't know if you've got like a video camera, or we don't know what video cameras are.
right.
I don't know if you understood how much this had an effect on our little team, but you've changed our lives. We're taking your oven. And if you'd like to come to the school, I think you should meet our headmaster.
You can be so beneficial to these kids, especially the one earlier who was, what was he doing? Screaking?
I am not a great guidance counselor. Let me just be honest.
Let me just kind of say that. Man, I'm bad at my job.
I need this little box to do my job for me. Just like, I'm going to sit back, sip tea with Tim, and watch this little box fix all the kids' problems on their own.
Okay. Well, it is trivial to kind of move all these things. In fact, Toy Witch is not very large, so Tim could easily carry Toy Witch if necessary. The oven, though, you could definitely float that on the floating disc there.
Gotcha. I'm holding Arnold. I have Sin on my shoulder and the Weasel on my other shoulder.
Can your mage hand get the cake?
Oh, yes. I put on another glove.
I mean, I know we can make more cake, but it's just like symbolic. This was the cake we earned together.
Night Shift, I got a question for you. Do you try getting like any, do you try to get a dessert out of the oven?
Is there anything in there?
If you reach in, there might be.
I think night shift's more focused.
Well, what if it's dirty inside? You gotta see. You can't like take the oven.
Yeah, I've gotta see. You've baited me. I'm falling for the bait. I reach inside the oven.
Cool. Let me see here. You pull out a banana split sundae.
I don't really understand how this worked, but okay.
This oven is having an identity crisis.
No, it makes desserts.
Yeah, I need
hot
this oven.
Hot or cold.
Hot or cold.
I remember the last time I encountered a magical oven. That old witch tried to cook me. She got what was coming to her.
So are we coming back to the headmaster's office, like, slow motion, perfect party, so synergistic, and we're just, I want to thank him for this opportunity. Mm-hmm. What were you saying, Pooh?
I think Tim has a milkshake.
Okay.
Pulls a milkshake out of the oven while it's floating by.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that if you leave the trash pile with Toy Witch in tow, like as you leave, the pile sort of like reverts back to its original state and kind of collapses down to a much smaller pile, much to the excitement of the waste management graduate students who were just like observing it from afar.
Yeah, I was about to say, hey, clean this up.
And you're welcome.
Oh, and before they go by, I spit out some potions to help them speed up along the way. Swiftness. Potions, elixirs of swiftness.
Well, accidental team building accomplished. Our heroes return back to Orin's office, to which you see the gnome, like, just resting at his desk. He has like an ice bag like pressed up against his face, and there's like not really like a glum look on the face, but just like a flustered look on his face as you all return.
I pour him a cup of tea.
Headmaster Orin, what happened?
A representative of one of the fiend patrons made their opinions very well known and caused second degree burns. So I'm going to have to find a facility to keep them away from the celestial patrons. It's very awkward. This is not a hotel. I don't know why we have to host all these patrons.
Just point me a direction. I'll give them a healing.
That's fine. That's fine.
If only there was some way to have several rooms created out of thin air for exactly what you needed to keep people separated. Huh.
I can tell what you're saying, but I will point out that I've been able to observe your activities this entire time.
Honestly, we figured. We knew this was your little team building activity.
Look at Night Shift, and then you look at like JJJ, who is somehow holding like a very small ice cream cone in his front paws, and it's just like going to town on that.
Aww. Mm-hmm. So a little spy on us. Hmm.
I was gonna blame the broom that came out of nowhere, but this also works.
Orin shrugs and says, I told you he was my familiar, and you insisted on taking him. So
Night Shift has no reaction to this, doesn't understand the problem.
Yeah, I think like I look at Tim, like we look at each other, we look at JJ, Jolly Good, we look at Orwin.
That oven is going in the teacher's lounge.
I think it might be best suited with what's her name again? He points over to like the chest that you have slinging under your arm, Tim, and the chest is like almost it's
Arnie.
Toy Witch. Let me see here. Why do we say Dungeon Master Toy Witch?
Congratulations.
I believe that the oven would be best in their capable appendages. Besides,
Interesting use of the word appendages.
I saw things.
Okay.
Oh. Well, I apologize.
But the chest is like quivering a little bit, like nervously, mostly because toy which is not used being carried around outside of his dungeon, obviously. But
I'm gonna give Toy Witch a Klonopin.
And a cup of tea.
Just a little Xanax and a cup of tea.
Oh, also, I give Night Shift a cup of tea, but I had it dyed blue from the inside to look like Windex, but warm.
He said, "Ah, thank you." And he pulls out his lower eyelid and slowly pours.
Why?
I thought you were going to take the cup and stuff it in your beard for safekeeping.
No, but he does eat the cup.
But this is much worse. But he does eat the cup. We find it endearing now. We find all of this very endearing.
Orwin says, "I believe there is at least some facilities on site where Arnie can find a home. We'll see what we can do for this, but I believe as you alluded to, Missin, team building is a fair application of Arnie's talents. If they seem capable and willing to engage in that, at least."
I've got plenty more of these Zannies, Arnie. You just let me know.
Mm-hmm. We got you.
Thanks. It just sort of shakes a bit more, like nervously.
I've made things much worse.
Mm-hmm. So, with that being said, we could do a little epiloguing on what happens in the aftermath. Like, you know, you have Jimbo go in. So, I guess here's my question. How do you decide to set up the framing device for the dungeon? Do the students know about Toy Witch? Do they think it's some mysterious entity that is just
Oh, yeah, I think they have to go through what we did. This is how you learn.
You could set up the entrance in the bowels of like the building or the college's like boiler rooms and stuff like that. Also known as Night Shift's domain. So you have to get past the creepy janitor to even enter this magical realm.
I think it becomes a dare, and I think it becomes like that all of the students have against each other, and it's known as squeezing.
yes to all of you. I was going to say also, students who are particularly problematic, we knock them out with tea and Xanax. We put them on the disc, and then when they wake up, they're inside and don't
cut
know what's
this,
going
cut
on.
This, Austin. We're going to get arrested.
But at the end of it, we're waiting there. We're like, good job. And we do like the Evangelion, congratulations. And there's like cake and tea waiting for them.
Yeah, and they signed consent forms when they enrolled.
You realize when you do this, you're going to get called in front of the patrons in the PTA meeting. They're going to be like, fire these fuckers. They assaulted my progeny here.
Oh, no. The tea that they have at the end of it knocks them out again, and they wake up in their bed.
That doesn't help anything.
It's a dream.
Drugging people multiple times doesn't solve problems.
We have magical sleep. Powers. Right. We have magical sleep powers.
We've learned nothing except we've grown more powerful.
As a group, we've grown more powerful.
Look, yeah. I can speak from experience. If you haven't gone through graduate school without several horribly traumatizing experiences, why'd you even go?
I think that Night Shift deserves a new name tag, and I'm going to make one that says Night Shift very clearly.
I'm going to notice two things that will happen. One, when you put that name tag on Night Shift, it somehow changes to indecipherable text anyways.
Okay.
I assume that's what happens there.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that feels right.
That feels right.
And secondly, upon hearing like Night Shift remark about graduate school, Orin's like, by the way, Mr. Shift, I looked through your records, and there aren't any records. It's just page after page of inane rambling about toilet dynamics.
Wasn't that your PhD?
Night Shift leans back in the chair and sort of stretches and says, "Ah, this conversation. I've had this about, oh, I don't know, 3,000 times now. Look, Sonny, I've been here long before you, and I'll be here long after you're dead." And he walks into the closet and goes away.
Oh, back into the closet. I'm in to talk to him about that.
Or just sighs, is like, this is going to reflect poorly on my annual review, I feel, one way or another.
Under the closet, I flip a book, coming out and being your magical self, and I push it under the door.
Amazing. And again, much better guidance counselor than I've ever been.
Although he does seem to think that being in the closet involves a literal closet, which is a bit concerning.
Yeah. I will say that if you open the door like to the closet, there's no one in there.
Night Shift enters through the regular entrance and then empties a waste paper basket.
Yep, that's expected there. So the school has now found itself in the possession of a eldritch nightmare the likes of the world has never seen, and a cute mimic.
Hell yeah.
And I think that's a fine enough point as any to end this episode on. So
stay tuned to see if Tim and Sin get fired at the PTA.
I'm going to have so many cheesecakes.
And they're all going to be full of things to make you forget that you were ever here.
I thought those cheesecakes were to be like conjured selfies. Like, that's what you meant by cheesecakes. Anyways, with that being said, let's re-roll back through the participants. Remind us all who you are, where can we find you, and all that stuff. Let's start with you, Joa.
Cool. So I'm Joa. Thank you, Skitch, for having me. This was a lot of fun and mostly weird. I'm Joa. I'm at Pussy Full of Wasps on Twitter. If you want to see me just posting memes and shit, please give my boyfriend money. Austin Yorski, patreon.com.
Austin Yorski.
Yep, / Austin Yorski. And if you want to follow the Funding for Social Change things, if you're doing something super cool for your community or doing organizing for racial justice or trying to fuck up the police, Funding for Social Change is at Change Funding on literally everything. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. I don't have a lot of followers. Please follow me. All right. That's me.
I am Brandon Lee, also known as Pooh. You can find me on the internet at TheBucketListGamer on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook Gaming, and Twitch. Follow me. Make me affiliate so I can take streaming seriously. You can also find our podcast, The Legend of Nat 1, like I rolled a Nat 1 today. It's okay to start at season 2 when I got better at editing. Don't judge me. We did a recap and everything. You can just start from season 2. I swear I got better at editing.
I love that.
And also, for if you live in New York City or just want to get into the Discord, really, for protected queer spaces, find NYC Gamer. That is GAYMER. The Y means you belong.
Hello, I'm Dan Leonard. Thank you once again for having me here. I don't have, like, nice things that I do to help people. I work in tech support, which is the most evil position you can really be doing.
No, that's so helpful.
Not what I'm providing it.
Yeah, have you seen Night Shift? I mean, come on.
You're the Night Shift of the tech team.
I'm also, and I'm just going to leave this unexplained, am literally a diversity hire. I am by definition a diversity hire for my job. If you want to follow me, there's nothing
really. I'm so confused.
Yeah, there's nothing really out there. There's Marvelous Mr. D on Twitter. And later tonight, when you lie awake, paralyzed in bed, unable to move, I will be there at the foot, staring at you from the darkness. Yeah, that's right, I'm your sleep paralysis demon. Look, don't judge me, I moonlight.
All right, and I was your dungeon master in name only, Michael Schicciano Skitch. You can find me at Skitch Music on Twitter. You can also go to the website michaelschicciano.com, buy music at skitch.bandcamp.com, or find me on the Dice Funk Discord. And if you want to support all this, go give Austin money. That's the important thing here.
We've seen Critical Role made millions. We know it's money in D&D.
Yeah. Oh, wait, hold on. I forgot my one last request. Draw femboy janitor art. That's all I need. It's my one goal in life.
Femboy night shift.
That was the whole point of this.
That was the whole point of this.
Look, there's a 19-step plan. That's step 5. I need it to happen.